Let's turn over to Acts, if you would, this morning. Let's see. Acts chapter 5. I tell you, it turned winter, or felt that way this morning. But it's nice, I tell you. Feels good out there and crisp. Go to chapter 5, and we'll look around about verse number 12. That's really not what we're going to be as focused on as we are a little bit later, but we'll give us a kind of a precursor of what's going on here later in the chapter. But we'll see what we got here this morning. I made a few notes here. There's one fellow in here I want to look at, and some things kind of came out before, and I don't know if we've really ever talked about this fellow before or not, but the Bible, God wanted him mentioned, and I got looking at that, and with the Lord's help, we'll see, maybe kind of dig out around him and figure out why he's mentioned here in the Scripture, especially just for a very short time. Let me look at my time. We should be good there on our time. And this kind of gives us a little bit of background. It said, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Of course, there they are preaching. Of course, Peter standing up, he's preaching. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. I apologize, I want to stretch it out a little bit. I didn't get my bifocals again this morning. And believers were the more added to the Lord multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets, laid them on the beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. So you got to get the picture here of what's going on. And so this is, of course, in my Bible here up at the top, it says many signs and wonders. So it's kind of giving us an indication of what's going on as they're preaching here. So you just have to imagine if that was going on in downtown Kingsport or downtown Johnson City or in Nashville or somewhere, one of these cities, and men preaching and multitudes would show up. And even to bring the sick out into the streets, just so the shadow of Peter might pass them by. So keep that in mind as we look here. So you got to kind of think how the people are thinking. But there's other people that's watching this too. You know, the devil's always got a crowd, and they're watching it, what's going on as well. There came also a multitude of the cities round about into Jerusalem. So people came from all over the place, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. So not only were they, you think about that revival up in Bristol in June that went on, and people came from all around the area. And I think about this as being something similar. People come all over. So then the high priest rose up, and all that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. See, the devil's always got a crowd. So he rose up. That tells me he got out of his seat. Not only got out of his seat, but he was upset about something. And were filled with indignation. In other words, hatred. They didn't like what was going on. They were tormented by it. Couldn't believe it. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. And I know I'm talking as I'm reading, but as I was reading, I thought about this. And you think about anybody that witnessed what was going on, seeing sick being healed, that's what we're told. People that were vexed out of their mind, and that's why I get that, with vexed with unclean spirits, they were coming right in the right mind, and were healed. And you can see that going on, but yet you in prison, the people's doing it. So, you know, then that you had to be thinking more of yourself and the eye and pride, and you had to think more about your own sect, the Sadducees, and had to feel threatened by something that's new, Christianity. And you were not only threatened by Jesus Christ before, and he'd been crucified, but now all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, this movement's growing. There's getting to be more and more. What are we going to do? And so the first thing they thought, well, we'll put the men preaching in jail. Let's go on and see what happens. I love this right here. Now, you know, Luke does a great job recording this. We're going to get to, well, that's something in a minute. I was going to save that for a surprise because I'd never thought about that before. And there's no surprises in the Bible, but what I mean is something I'd never seen before or ever thought of. And we'll get to that in just a second, but talking about Luke and his recordings here. And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. So they're in jail. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. It's not only that he put them in jail, but an angel of the Lord came and let them out. And so I'm sure they went back home, the Sadducees did, and thought, we've got them taken care of. They was back out on the street the next day preaching. And when they heard that they had entered into the temple early in the morning and taught, but the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. See, politics getting in play there. You think about the senate and the council. And said, have them brought. In other words, you're going to have them brought before them. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Now, if you read that and you take that account of those guards, and those guards, if you go back and you study that, and again, I know Josephus, he's not, again, biblically, if you follow along with the Bible, Josephus was just a historian, just like you'd have somebody recording United States history. He just recorded Jewish history. And sometimes he'll make comments about situations like this. And those officers or those soldiers had no reason to lie because they knew that it'd be their death. I mean, if they let prisoners go, that's what they would do. So they're telling the truth. So you look at that means that they must have just walked through the doors, or the angel opened the door and let them out and then locked it back. But either way, they passed by them and they never saw them. So they got out of prison, nobody ever saw it. And do you think about that? And I've heard others say, well, they could have went through the wall on the other side. Well, I guess they could have. The angel could have made a door anywhere. But you think about that, and so they go to them, and the prison's empty, and the doors are locked, and the men that were supposed to be guarding them said, we never left. We've been here the entire time. And they said, well, where are they at? And they said, well, they're back in the temple preaching, teaching. So, boy, they really got mad. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? Wouldn't even hardly say his name. Wouldn't say Jesus Christ, but it said this name. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, that's a good lesson for all of us, isn't it? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so it is also the Holy Ghost whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Let's stop right there just for a second. This is getting to the fellow I wanted to talk about. And I know over time I thought about why is Gamaliel in here. And Gamaliel, I'm not sure about the pronunciation, but Gamaliel, I guess is how you'd say that. But right before that, it's when they heard that, talking about these, I guess this sect of the Sadducees, they were cut to the heart. That means very troubled. Cut in two, if you look at that. That means it divided them asunder. Just like the Word of God splits, you know, divides a man as he hears the gospel being preached, man is lost. That's exactly what this is exactly referring to, the same thing. In other words, it showed them who they really were. And as we saw already, and that's why you have to read that beforehand, there were some, as it said here, They came also a multitude of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing such folks, them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. In other words, crowds were following them that believed. They believed the preaching of the gospel. And they were following them, bringing their sick to the streets, even that the shadow of Peter might pass over them. So there were some that believed, but as we see, there were some that didn't. Some that chose that they were very cut to the heart, so to speak. In other words, it cut them in two, sawn asunder, showed them who they were, but they're on the flip side of the fence, or not the flip side, but the other side of the fence. They want to kill them, get rid of them. Saying what the word or the gospel you're spreading is ruining Jerusalem. It's ruining what we have. It's against what we teach. It's against the doctrine we know. So, and they took him, took counsel to slay him. In other words, they were going to kill him. Then verse number 34, then stood there up and one, stood up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Let's stop right there a minute. Now, I did a little research on him, but I wanted to share something with you that I never thought of, and it was this morning before it ever come to me. It was the Lord that opened that up, so I never saw this before. Now, think about this just a second. I got puzzled and looking at that and said, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, because I want to know more about this Gamaliel, because I knew he was chief or captain of the Sanhedrin court, and I knew that the Sadducees had respect for him as well as Pharisees, even though they differed. But when I started looking at that, I said, put the apostles forth a little space. What does that mean? Well, that means they took them to another room. They took them somewhere else, or in other words, he left with the chief priest. In other words, the apostles were not present. So, but Luke wrote Acts. So I thought, well, now if Luke wrote Acts, and Luke was one of the apostles, but it says right here they were put forth a little space. In other words, they moved away from them. Now the Holy Spirit can do anything. You know, he might have increased Luke's hearing. Luke could have heard everything going on. Maybe Luke was closest to the door. Maybe Luke overheard everything. But you know what? There was another fellow there. A fellow that followed Gamaliel and was taught at his feet. A fellow named Paul. And you know, you look over in the Bible, just a few chapters, chapter 7, Stephen's defense. There was a young man there that held those coats, so they stoned him. A fellow named Saul. You go over a few more chapters, or I guess the end of that chapter, of course, Stephen's death. But then chapter 8, you get over and Saul persecutes the church. And going over about, of course, the gospel being preached in Samaria, of course, Philip and the eunuch. And you go on over chapter 9, there's the conversion of Saul. And I wonder, and that's just me, I like to think about things like that. I wonder if that's how Luke knew what was said in this room. Paul told him. Because Paul would have known. Because at that time, Paul was on the chief priest side. He was ready to get rid of Peter and the rest of these apostles. You think about that. And these men would have had to know that. As these apostles would have known, Paul would have been in there too. I say that because, and we're getting off track, but it's still a little side note to think about, that might be why they were so distrusting to Paul too when he originally said he'd been saved. And he come around to preach. Or another, you know, and the reason why the Holy Spirit led Paul away for a while. And when he came back, you think about that. I wonder if that was because he was around. They saw him. They knew who he was. But anyway, with that, I looked up a few things I wanted to share with you. And this Gamaliel made a few notes said when they... Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So let's see who he is. And so I'd made some notes and went back and looked at him, said he was a Pharisee. Of course, we're told that here in Scripture. So that means what he believed was a little bit closer to what the apostles were preaching. Of course, he didn't believe it completely, but he did believe in the resurrection, which from what I could read, see, Sadducees did not. So he had a difference against them anyway. So don't think that he's jumping in here and taking sides with them. If it was anything, it allows him, we'll get to a minute what he said, it allows him to throw a few punches, I guess, to the Sadducees. In other words, he thinks he can kind of put them in their place. So again, that's where politics come into play. He was the grandson of Hillel, who I don't realize who that was, so I went back and looked, and he was a Jewish scholar, considered one of the first, I guess, as far as one of the brightest men ever in the nation of Israel. So he was his grandson, so he was considered a very important person as well, very scholarly, knew all the law, you know, knew it for backwards and forwards, and you know, just knew every bit. You couldn't put anything past him or his family. They knew that. He was so respected, this Gamaliel, that when he would teach, his students would stand. And what's recorded is that after his death, that never occurred again. He was the only one who taught in the temple. Again, that when he taught, he could sit and his students would stand out of respect for his knowledge of the law. Again, I'm not saying that he's not perfect. I'm just painting you a picture of who's getting ready to speak here in defense of these apostles and what these other chief priests and people would think of him. So again, after he died, they said the glory of the law has ceased and purity and Phariseeism is dead. Because they thought he was, if anybody was a Pharisee, Paul said he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Well, this Gamaliel, from just what's recorded about him, he would have been as well. And that might be how Paul saw that when he was being trained by him. And going back to look, it's not recorded. It's just, and again, this is from Josephus. Gamaliel was more than likely one of the few Pharisees that listened to the boy Jesus in Luke. You know, it's over in Luke. I guess that's chapter 3, somewhere there. That Gamaliel was in the temple when Jesus was teaching. He would have been one of them present. And said, wonder if that ever had an effect on him as well. And again, not that he ever got saved, but he was a wise man, is what it tried to say. And he was a president or the leader of Sanhedrin court. And so as we look here, and we look over in the scripture, and I think about Gamaliel's advice, and as he stands up, you know, how that applies to us today. And let's look at verse 35. And he said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do is touching these men." In other words, what are you going to do to them? So we know who this Gamaliel is. He stands up to talk, and I'm sure the whole place hushes. Whatever he says, they're going to listen to him. "For before these days rose up Thaddeus." What he's going to do, he's going to give them two examples from history. And that shows me that what he's done is he has studied these apostles. He wasn't just... And see, what got me looking at him was thinking about King Agrippa and Festus. I think he falls into the same group. I think Gamaliel does. I think he had listened and heard and studied on them. And as Mr. Grizzle said that one Sunday, I think he missed it and realized it later, maybe. But he's almost persuaded. That's right. And I think Gamaliel falls into that. Listen to what he says. Because he'd studied it. He knew the historical perspective. That's why I had to give you that background about him. "For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught," brought to nothing. And see, now he's going to give another example. "And after this rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him." And see, these are two verses, two examples we can use today. Got to be careful, even back then. You had these sects or cults popping up. "After the man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of attacks and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed." So here's example number two. They came to nothing. Let's see what this man here says. "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men." In other words, hold back. "And let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." I've just given you two examples, he's saying, that came to nothing. And we were concerned then. So don't concern yourself about these apostles. But, there's that word again, pastor points out all the time in the Bible. And what Gamaliel says here, he says, "But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it." Amen. That's what he's saying. "Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." See, that's why I was thinking about Agrippa and Festus and other members, people in the Bible and people we study, and this Gamaliel, he came to mind. I said, he's in that same group right there. And now, we don't know for sure, so all that speculation. But let's say he did hear Jesus preach as a boy in the temple. He had been watching these apostles. He knew about these other events that had happened and come to naught. He saw what was going on in the streets. That's when we had to go back and look at verse number 12. He knew something was different with these men.
That's right.
He knew it. He just didn't know. He didn't give in enough. I guess he relied too much on his head knowledge or his being the head of the Pharisees, the top man, so to speak. And that, well, like Agrippa and Festus were tops in, I guess, the politics as far as the judicial court. He'd have been in the religious court. He'd been the number one man. And maybe he could see that. I don't know what he was thinking.
Brother Brian, to go along with that, you remember when the blind man was healed, brother, the parents wouldn't say who did it for fear of being kicked out of the temple.
That's right.
Thrown out of the temple. It meant
Yeah.
So even to those parents, that they wouldn't say that it was Jesus.
That's right. I forgot about that. So here you got the chief.
Yes, sir.
And he it meant a lot to him. And then that gave his family history, too, to be counted among the religious. See, his granddad was.
Did you say something, Brother Brian? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. You correct me. It seemed like in my mind you said something that day, the day you got saved, like the old Slewfoot said something that you might be put out of here.
Yeah, I said, they run you out of there. So you've been trying to teach, but I didn't care. Yeah, I got to the point where I didn't care what people thought. Yeah, and I—that's you have to get to that point. You got to get to where you don't care what other people think, and that's when I remember. You hear that comment. You got to take sides with God, and not yourself. And I think here, Gamaliel, and this is just me thinking. Now, I'm not trying to put anything in the Bible. I'm not saying don't take away that I thought he was trying to preach or anything. No. That's why I had to give you the background. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But I'm just saying, for the words he said, he had to have given it some thought. Because how else could you have came up with what he's getting ready to say? He said, but if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. In other words, they beat them, which here, looking that up, usually means 39 stripes. And they beat them and said, don't you preach about Jesus anymore. And he let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You think about that. Got 39 stripes. Told them, said, you don't do this again. And that says right there, in front of them, is the way I take that, in front of the Sanhedrin court, in front of the Sadducees and Pharisees, as they walked out the door, they walked out rejoicing. Whip me again, I'm going to keep on preaching. That's really what they did. And that's what you look at, that's what that means. They were joy, they were happy. And it didn't say they waited, they got outside, or they moved down the road. It says, and they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. In other words, they were happy to suffer for the cause of Christ. If you look, I guess that's over in, what is it, Matthew 5. Let's see, you guys don't turn there. I'll see if I can. I think it's probably referenced in your Bible. Blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall by all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Verse number 12, that's Matthew 5, that's what I was looking for. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I think Peter and the rest of the apostles, and that's just me again thinking here, they saw that like, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I think that went through their mind too, what the prophets had prophesied of and as of a Savior coming to save the world, and now they were able to preach about him because they had seen him. They walked with him. They'd been with him. They'd seen him resurrected and ascending back to heaven. And I think when they went out the door rejoicing, they was like, that's all right. We know the truth. And that's why they get excited to preach and share the gospel. As you think about it, say, well, how does that apply to us today? And we think about our daily lives and what Gamaliel here would have said and who he was. And I go back and you stay where you're at over here in Ecclesiastes. If I can find it here, I always say that. Chapter 3. Let's see here. Yeah, chapter 3, verse number 14. I know, this is again from Solomon, said, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And so as Peter and the rest of the apostles went out rejoicing, they were excited. And I think that Gamaliel, again, watched them, knew what was going on. He knew the Old Testament. He knew the law. He knew the writings Solomon or at least might have been familiar with some of them. And as you look here, said he knew that you couldn't go against God because he said, why fight against God? You know, I'd made a note here underneath that with Gamaliel, and I'd written this, and again, this is just from a man, but you'll recognize his name. He was an American by the name of Mark Twain. Of course, Samuel Clemens was his name, but Mark Twain. And this is something he wrote, and I jotted down, and it fits if you think about this. And think about it in just relation to this, the gospel going out. Think about these apostles were preaching. But think about today as the gospel goes out. And people, we have revivals like we did in Bristol and churches do and fall revivals coming up, or I guess it's kind of getting out of the fall now. But Mark Twain wrote, a lie runs around the world while the truth is still putting on her shoes. How quick a lie runs around the world. You can spread a lie like that where truth is still putting on her shoes. And I think about that as Peter and them preached. See, truth was going out. The gospel was going out. But it was quicker for Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, well, against these men. They're preaching, you know, heresy. They're preaching against the law. We've got to put them to death. But truth continues on. Even now, truth's being preached. Truth's going out. You think about that as the gospel goes out. But you get somebody preaching a lie or even telling a lie on somebody else or mentioning it. That's why you got to watch and guard yourselves. You know, I told you that one fellow I used to run with. I never ran with him, but I saw him a lot running back and forth, and he talks to me more now. And he sees me, asks me how I'm doing all the time. Every time I see him, he always say, you got your guard up? I might have told you about him one Sunday. And really been a blessing to me just saying that to work on me some. You know, he'd say, you got your guard up? I'd say, got your guard up? He'd say, yeah. He said, not worried about anybody's going to mug you or grab you, you know, when you're out. He said, I mean, in life, you got your guard up, ready what's coming today. You ready? Can you handle the day? And I think about that, Terry. I think about something like that. A lie runs around the world while the truth is still putting on her shoes. Have we got our guard up? Can we discern between what's real and what's not? What about in our own lives? A couple other notes here, and I'll be done and be done early this morning. I'd jot down a few things as we go back to verse number 33 says, when they were that, they were cut to the heart. In other words, they were divided in two. They wanted to kill the messengers that was bringing them the truth. The one thing that could help them, they got mad about. Now see this other group over in verse number 12 through 16, 17, 18, they didn't. Remember I said how there was a group that always gets mad? Devil's got a crowd. Of course, these Sadducees, they got upset about it. And it'd be like if you know, the mailman or UPS, whoever dropped off a package and you was mad about what was in the package, so you went out there and roughed up the UPS man. He didn't have anything to do with it, or she didn't. All they're doing is delivering the mail, so to speak. And I thought about that as our preachers and pastors stand. Our own pastors, he stands and delivers the mail, so to speak. You know, he says that. I says, got what God's got for me today. Or, you know, Preacher Jack used to say that, use that phrase, delivering the mail. Whatever God's given him. Sometimes that doesn't hit us just right. Sometimes makes us search ourselves and examine ourselves, which we should. Sometimes it's to rebuke or reprove the church or maybe individuals. You may not know it, or he may not know it when he's preaching it, but God's giving him that message for some reason. So what I take away from that is don't be in a hurry as they did in verse number 33. And instead of cut to the heart, or they really got mad over it. In other words, they saw in asunder. They were cut in two. They really saw who they were for the first time. Don't shoot the messenger just to keep yourself from hearing what's really true. And as I try to look through here, it says, hunt for the ones telling the truth. That goes back to verse number 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that if the least the shadow of Peter passing might overshadow some of them. They were willing to hunt and search out for the truth. You know, Kim and the girls, they got me. I love history. Y'all know that. I'm always talking about anything historical I've always tried to go to. And I kind of miss not being able to go to some of the places like I'd like to, but I've been fortunate in my life to, I got to go to a lot of places. So they got my book, for my birthday, Killing the SS. And I didn't realize it's, of course, about how Israel became a nation, but then how they got together and put forth those death squads that go out and try to hunt down the Germans, the SS. And it's just amazing to me how secretive they were. And you know, we know about it now, but at the time, I mean, they were hunting these men. And how they would hide these SS, and how that they were already had funneled cash out of the country and went to other countries. In other words, so they could go there and live as if nothing ever happened. But you know, these Jewish, I guess, police, so to speak, Secret Service, they were on the trail, buddy. And they weren't going to come out. It took years to find some of them, but they stayed on their trail. They were hunting for the truth. They were wanting to bring them to justice. And that's what I'll say here is, I think Gamaliel's advice is, no matter what, and like I said, I'm not saying he was anything here other than the Pharisee and the head of the Sanhedrin court, and he very, very religious, and I'm sure he knew the law, but he's saying hunt for the truth. Even though he may have done it himself, in his advice, what he was telling them, he said, "Now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to about naught." And if you'll notice there, and that just come out to me, he says in there too, "For if this counsel," and he's the head of that council, Sanhedrin court. In other words, even if what we're doing is of men, it's going to come to naught. So you notice, you said, no, he's referring to the men. He's referring to the apostles. No, he's not. He says, "For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught." So he even realized what they did had to be of God, because if it wasn't, even in their lives, it would be nothing. Boy, I tell you what, I think he got close, but he just didn't know. It passed him by. As Pastor said, it might have been too religious. A couple other things that I've jotted down, and we're done. I look at my time. Oh, yeah, we'll be way ahead. I wanted to point out was, for just our lives, and we examine our lives, and not to be, as we look into the mirror and what we think of as the scripture sometimes, and see who we really are. Proverbs 27, I'll turn to here, might help us, and I jotted this down. 27:6. Let's see here. I'll read a few of these. I like verse number 1. I think, "Boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Amen. Verse number 6, what I want to get to. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." I tell you that because sometimes, as Gamaliel, he stood up against his Pharisee friends and Sadducee friends and say, "You know what, don't hurt these men, because what they may be doing may be of God." He says right here, he says, "But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it." You know, you think sometimes, I'm getting ready to go through my evaluation. I don't know how it'll be because, you know, I missed that year, but I'm kind of anxious about that, but it's got to be done. And, you know, if your boss at work, he tells you one thing, and I don't think bad's going to come of it, but what I'm saying is, you know, they evaluate you, and you know, sometimes they tell you things you don't want to hear. Sometimes it's things you do want to hear, and that's been over the years, and you have to make adjustments. If you don't, you know, they ask you to leave, or you change, or, you know, they get rid of you. That's with any job. But if it's sometimes they're doing it, if you got a good boss and you work for a good person, they're doing it to benefit you, doing it to help you. You may be a little ill on the way home, maybe a little ill or mad about it for 2 or 3 days or a week or so. So, well, they're not going to give me this promotion. They're not going to move me here. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. But at the same time, maybe they're being a friend to you, knowing that 2 or 3 years down the road, it'll make a difference in your life. It'll be even better for you.
That's right.
But at the time, you don't think it is.
That's right.
And I think that returns right. "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Same way as we hear from evangelists and pastors and preachers stand up and give us the gospel. Sometimes it's not always what we want to hear. We may leave sometimes mad or upset. Or they may pull us aside and point something out to us, and it's time we don't like to hear it. But that's better than somebody being deceitful. And the enemy, "Oh, everything's all right. You go on about your way." How'd you like to go? Well, I know I wouldn't go to evaluation here coming up here in a couple of weeks. And they tell me, say, "Well, everything's fine. You're looking good and job's going okay." So give you a thumb up. Say, "Well, all right. See you later." Then January, February roll around, or new governor gets in, they start making cuts, and all of a sudden you realize you're one of them cut. Now, again, I'm just using it as an example of our job working for the state. And you say, "Why didn't you tell me that?" Well, I didn't want to worry. Or maybe what usually happens, you can't find them with a search warrant after that. Demask them. But you'd be prefer that they tell you up front, look, we see these things coming down the pike. Unless we change you to here or here, there may be a problem. And I'm sure it works the same way at Eastman. I'm sure it works the same way at BAE, any corporation it does. So again, don't shoot the messenger or the person delivering the message. And I think that's what Gamaliel was saying, because it may be of God. It may be for you. So we hear here in Proverbs 27, you may not like the message. And it may be a message that a friend pulled you over to the side and shared with you or told you. You know, I got a friend at work, and he shoots me straight every time. I've told you that. No matter what I ask him, he'll always lean back, and I can tell what he's going to tell me. If it's going to be go along with what I said, if he agrees with it. And I'm talking about just things at work. I've decided to do this or that, or maybe handle a class a certain way. Something simple. I can tell if he leans back and stretches, that usually means what he's going to come forth with is he's going to agree with me either some or not at all, but he's going to tell me. And I appreciate that. And sometimes I may leave. I have before thinking he don't know what he's talking about. I wait about a week and think, you know, he's pretty smart. And that's why I go back and ask him. Because he's a friend. And he'd rather give me good advice, even though it may not go along what I think and not hurt your feelings, but that's what we think of. But anyway, keep that in mind. So that's the same thing as you look here as Gamaliel's advice. It might not have been the advice that the members of Sanhedrin court wanted to hear. But it was wisdom in that advice. And of course, as we see, we know what happened. But I'm trying to take away from that. How do we apply listening to our lives? So be willing to learn the hard lessons. Wise person, I'll jot this down. Wise persons or wise people, they listen even to all rebukes. And they try to learn from the gospel or from the preaching what's meant for him or her. So that should be a goal for us today. And last but not least, Proverbs 9. See, that's backwards. I was going the other way. And we'll be done. Sometimes these are warning signs for us. And I think about that in my own life now, looking back, so that preaching, teaching I'd heard, and comments made, and testimonies. And like I said, I could go through the whole church probably, and little things somebody said along the way and over the years, and conscience be okay for a while, then it'd bother me again, it'd be okay for a while, it'd bother me, and then somebody'd say something, it might be just a little phrase, and you'd wonder if these were warning signs. I think this was Gamaliel, what he was giving here, this was a warning sign to the people of Jerusalem and to Israel, and at the time, maybe they didn't see it that way, they didn't want to think about it that way, but he was giving them a warning, and it says, if this be of God, there's no way you can stamp it out. There had to be. At some point down the road, people went back and said, well, I remember what Gamaliel said. His advice, and boy, this gospel, it spread even more. This Christianity, it's all over Europe now. So it had to be. They were humans like us, people like us. Let's look right here, Proverbs 9, 8, 9, and I'm done. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. And that goes back to listening. And I think as we listen and read the scripture and you examine yourselves and we live each day, take some advice from Gamaliel and say, if it be of God, if it be of God, nothing you can do about it. Said it's going to go on its way. You know, the fire of Christianity was started and it just kept spreading. You know, we used to burn fields off there around the house. My brother, he called me not long ago and He's like Jerry Clower. I wish when he'd come up here he'd tell y'all some of these stories. He just cracks me up, and I like putting him on the speakerphones. We all get tickled. He'll be here next weekend, Lord willing. But he likes, we, you know, back home they burn fields off, and so flat, you know. And he said one time he was in his backyard, and he lit a fire, you know, and started burning. He said about that time he heard, you know, I'm trying to make a siren sound. But he said he heard these sirens. He thought, oh no, they're coming after me. And, you know, he said, oh, they'll get me. He said, I didn't get a burning permit or anything. I better start trying to put this thing out. So he's out there with a shovel, and he's got his water hose and stuff. Of course, I don't know what he thought he was going to do with all the smoke. But anyway, he got it put out, you know, and he said, about the time he was leaning on that shovel, he said, here they came around the curve. And he was getting ready to just wipe the sweat off his forehead, but he said he noticed it didn't slow down. They went right on by his house. And he said, I've been out here fighting this thing. He said, they weren't coming to me anyway. He said, I wonder where they's going. Well, it turned out his neighbor had lit a field down there, and he had 100 acres on fire. So his little grassy field, half acre, didn't add up to what he had gotten caught on fire. In other words, that's where the fire department was going. And they're out in the country, and so they can burn. But anyway, the reason why I say that, You know, isn't that how we are sometimes? We're real quick to extinguish and put out that little half-acre fire and think, oh boy, I'm out of it now. Well, you know, the whole time, he was fine. But we get excited. We don't allow things that, like he said, you know, if I just let it run its course and just burn that little field, it would probably have been burned out before they ever got there. But anyway, I think about that. That's how we are sometimes in our lives. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm done.
Said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people. This is when they wanted a king.
Yeah.
And in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee,